Welcome to the Riverside Church Podcast. Riverside Church is a community of believers striving side by side for the gospel in the greater New Orleans area. For more information about Riverside Church, go to riversidelife.org.
This morning, last week, I remarked that the gospel is kind of a big deal around here. And it should be, because the Bible tells us, this is what we talked about last week as we went through the Romans Road, that the gospel is the power of God for salvation for those who believe. It's the power for us to be born again and the power that we need to live like Christ, to be transformed in the Holy Spirit. And the gospel is a big deal, but you also might recognize that baptism is a big deal. It's even in the name of the churches that we cooperate with for the sake of mission around the world, that we call ourselves Baptists. And so it's a big deal, baptism is, but it's not just a big deal for that reason. It's a big deal because what baptism proclaims, it's not power, but it points us to the power. It's a display of that power. It shows us the gospel. It's a dramatic portrayal of what happens at conversion, that those who believe the good news and repent and are baptized, as you just heard in Romans chapter 6, that they've been buried with Christ, they're united with Christ, their life is hidden with God in Christ, and they're tied up in Christ so much that what's true of Christ is true of them, that they are buried with him, they're crucified with him, they're buried with him, and they've been raised to walk in newness of life with him, and one day we will be resurrected just as he was resurrected. In fact, Jesus' public ministry begins with his baptism and concludes with the Great Commission, where Jesus tells us to go and make disciples of all nations, what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and then teaching them, discipling those who are being baptized to do all that the Lord has commanded. So my main point this morning, here's what I want you to know. This sign that you'll see this morning that involves going through the water is a theme that we see throughout the scripture. And when we see the theme of salvation through the waters, throughout scriptures, I think this will help us see the beauty of baptism and why it is such a big deal. So, if you would be so kind this morning, let's take a walk through the Old Testament to see if we can pick up on this theme of salvation through the water, just to see if it might give us an idea of what baptism is and see the beauty of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. One of the images we see in the opening pages of Scripture, and even in the closing pages of the Bible, is the image of water. You know how the Bible starts, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. And so if you look at the Bible and look at creation, we see the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the deep, and then God speaks, and the waters are divided. And we see that the waters are divided, and from the waters come dry land. Eden itself, the special place of God's special creation for humankind, comes from the water as God does this. The place of life is brought up out of the water, and God brings humanity into this new world. In Genesis 3, though, we see that humanity unleashes disorder in the world through sin. And so the reason we see this problem of sin in our world is not because of God, it's because of us. We are the people that have really mucked this thing up. And so in Genesis chapter 3, we see humanity unleashes disorder into the world, and what began as God's creating purpose, God will continue through his saving purpose through the water. And so as we continue through that, we see that in Genesis chapter 6, we meet a man named Noah. Do you remember Noah? That Noah found favor with God. The world is full of evil and rebellion, and the Lord determines that decreation is necessary, that he is going to wipe the face of the earth clean, that a rebirth is necessary. And so do you remember that the floodwaters open up? It rains, and waters cover the earth and destroy the earth and wipe it clean. Water breaks forth from the earth, is flooded. However, Noah's family finds the grace of God. Do you remember that? The Bible tells us that Noah's family received the favor of God. They find God's grace toward them, and the Bible tells us that they safely pass through the waters of judgment in the ark. God provided a way to pass through the waters of judgment and not be destroyed. Can you believe that? That he provided a way for sinners to be saved and not succumb to God's judgment. Now, the apostles are model interpreters for us here because Peter makes this connection for us in 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter relates this to baptism, just so you know that I'm not just making this up. It's only a few people, he says, eight in all, who were saved through the water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you. And so we see that in Noah, we see this theme arise again that we are saved through the water by God's provision there in an ark. And then in the Old Testament, you meet Moses. And the same can be true of him. You remember Moses as a child, he was saved early on. He was put in the river, he was put in the water, he was put in the Nile. And the way that the Bible describes that basket that baby Moses was laid in is the same word that he used for ark. So in this ark, God preserves his people and raises up a leader for his people. And then we continue to read in Exodus that the people of God were slaves to Egypt. And so the people of God are slaves to Egypt, and the Lord passes over Egypt in judgment. But those who were under the lamb, the blood of the lamb, go free. The enemy chased after them. They're pressing in, and they found themselves, do you remember this, hemmed between the enemy and the water, the Red Sea. God had set them free, but there they are, hemmed in between the enemy and the water. How will they go free? And so Moses leads the people through the water so that they could cross over, and in judgment, he comes over the enemies of God's people and drowns them, he wipes them out, but God's people go free so that they can go worship him as they were designed to do by passing through the water. Now, Paul is also a model interpreter here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he puts these two events together, the Red Sea and baptism. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul describes the passing through the waters of the Red Sea as a kind of baptism there into Moses. And so what we see in Scripture is the Lord acting to save people from slavery, from death, through the waters. And as the waters close in judgment upon Egypt, God safely allows his people to pass through. And then there's Joshua. Do you remember Joshua? He takes over after Moses has died, and then Joshua is leading his people. Do you remember this? And he's leading the people to the brink of the promised land after 40 years of wandering. And there they camp the night before they enter into the promised land. Where do they camp? On the banks of the Jordan. So there they are again, on the banks of the Jordan. There they are on the edge of water. And do you remember what happened in Joshua's day? Do you remember what happened? The priests step into the water, and the waters part, and the people of God safely enter into the promised land by God's provision, by allowing them to pass through the water. So we see this theme throughout Scripture, so much so that if you read the Psalms, we start to see this connection more and more. In Psalm 107, it says, "The people of God cried to the Lord, and the waves of the sea were hushed." And so the psalmist begins to talk about water and the sea as a place of God's judgment or a place of chaos, a place of difficulty, a place that the people of God need to be saved from. Psalm chapter 69 says, "My enemies are deep waters." Psalm 46 says, "Though the seas rage, there is a river. There is one who calms the seas." And so when we get to the Old Testament, we're starting to be pressed with this question. Are you ready? Who will come and hush the waves of our enemies? Who will come and hush the waves of death? Who will come and hush the record of debt that stands against us? The Old Testament is asking the question to us, how will we pass through the waters of sin and death and God's wrath and live to tell about it? How will that be possible? who will pass through for us? Because we know we cannot fulfill all righteousness. We can't do this ourselves because we are sinners and we are the creature. We're not the creator. Who will make a way through sin and death and the waters and for us to live and tell about it? The prophet said our enemies are like raging sea. Ezekiel 36 says there's going to come one that will sprinkle us clean with water. There's a promise in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14 says, instead of water covering the earth, his glory is going to cover the earth. How will that be? In Isaiah chapter 40, we hear Isaiah say to his people, comfort, comfort. Restoration is coming. Comfort, comfort. Restoration is coming because Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 through 5, the Lord himself is coming. Comfort my people. Comfort my people. The Lord is coming and he will bring valleys up and mountains down and he will make a way. And so you open to Matthew, the New Testament. And we hear the last great prophet, John the Baptizer. And John tells the people, Isaiah chapter 40, comfort, comfort my people. The Lord is here. Mountains be lowered, valleys be raised up. Make straight the way for the path of the Lord, because the Lord is here. And he looks to Jesus and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lord is here, and he tells the people, repent and get ready. So people repent of their sins, and they're getting ready for the coming of the Lord. And then Jesus comes through the waters. It's a little bit different than our baptism, but we see that theme again, don't we? Jesus wants to participate in this passage through the water of renewing God's people, and Jesus' baptism is what he is doing. He identifies himself with his people. And Jesus is saying that I'm going to go through the water with you and for you. And then when Jesus emerges from the water, do you remember what we hear from heaven? We see the Spirit of God descends on him like a dove. Does that sound familiar? The Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the deep, Genesis 1. And from the heavens we hear, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He's saying, this is the one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there in this moment, we see the Trinity. This is the one with whom I am well pleased. New creation is coming. Behold, if anybody's in Christ, he's a new creation. New creation is coming, and Jesus is saying, and John is saying, the Lord is saying that this is the one who will go through the waters for us and make new creation possible. Isn't that good news? And so Jesus comes up out of the water, and why must he do this? Jesus tells us to fill full all righteousness. And as Israel went through the water unable to fulfill all righteousness, emerging from the water was the one who could and would fulfill all righteousness. Emerging from the water was the true and better Adam, the one who would live the life we could not live and die the death that we deserve, fulfilling the righteous requirements of the law on our behalf. Out of the water came the Lamb, and behold the Lamb who has come to deal with the sins of you and me. That's pretty good. That's good news. Baptism's a big deal. It says so much. Here is the one who passes through the waters of death for us. He identifies with his people. He becomes like us in every way, yet without sin. He lives the life as a true covenant keeper. He dies the death of covenant breakers like you and me, and freely gives to us the blessings of the covenant keeping he did on our behalf. Jesus descends into death. And by the way, he even called his own death in Mark chapter 10 or chapter 13, I can't remember right now, as a type of baptism. And God announces, this is the one who makes the way straight. And so the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, if anyone is in Christ, the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. It doesn't say that in Romans chapter 6. But Romans chapter 6 says that baptism represents that. That those of us who are in Christ have been united with him in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection. We will be resurrected with him. And so that's what baptism displays. Yes, this is what Christ has done for us. And on the merit of Christ, we believe in him. And what is displayed is what has happened in us internally when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that we were united with him, and what is true for him is now true for us, and we display that by going through the waters of baptism, saying, yes, I am united with Christ. Christ has gone through the waters of death for me. He has canceled the record of death that stood against me. The wrath of God does not overcome me because it's fallen upon Christ who has come to die for me, and I'm raised out of the water to walk in newness of life, that just as Christ has overwhelmed the grave, so the grave no longer has a hold on me because sin has been dealt with. Wow. Baptism's a big deal. It proclaims so much. So your baptism is publicly proclaiming your faith, your wholehearted trust in the one who went through the water for you. So let me conclude by giving you three ways to respond to this. Are you ready? Hopefully you see the beauty of baptism. It's kind of a big deal, right? And you're going to see it in a minute. Eight people are about to do this really big deal in front of you. We see that Jesus begins and ends his public ministry with baptism, the baptism of Jesus, and then the great commission to the church to be baptized. We see new believers all throughout the New Testament being baptized. First way to respond, remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. Whether you're 7 or 17, 6 or 16 or 60 or 30 or 4, whenever you remember your baptism. Like, man, I didn't think of all this when I was baptized. Like, do I need to do it again? Probably not. Just remember it. I would guarantee those who are married, when you made that public vow before God and everybody that till death do us part, my guess is you did not realize the depths of what you were doing at that point, right? For better or for worse, right? Till death do us part. We have that chuckle is making me a little bit nervous. If you need to talk about your marriage, I'd love to help you through that. Like, for real. Here's the thing. There's probably some people say they don't know what the heck they're doing. I hope they make it. And here you are, right? Remember your baptism. Maybe you didn't know all of that. Maybe you're like, wow, that's what I'm proclaiming. I'm a new creation. Out of the waters comes this new creation, that I've been safely brought through judgment, that I'm no longer a slave, that I'm a pilgrim who will safely cross the Jordan into the promised land, that the waves of the sea of my sin and my enemies have been hushed, that I'm one with Christ. And by the way, the Bible says in the new heavens and the new earth in Revelation chapter 21 that there will be no more sea. Revelation 21, verse 1, there's no more sea. Why? Because there's no more death, there's no more sickness, there's no more enemy. The last great enemy, which is death, is done finally once and for all. Doesn't mean there's no more water, but there's no more sea. It's done. That's where you're headed. That's good news. I didn't know that. You do now. Remember your baptism. Remember your baptism, believer, and what God has done for you by showing you grace. Rejoice. Rejoice for those being baptized today. The Bible says when a sinner repents and turns to the Lord that all of heaven rejoices. So we will join the chorus of heaven and rejoice for what God has done. And not only remember your baptism, but rejoice in your baptism as well. As you see these folks get baptized, that Jesus has brought me through and he will bring me through. And when you go through the fire, I will not be scorched. Even when judgment passes, I am good because I am covered in the blood of the Lamb. People of God, the Lord promises, I am with you. I've walked through death itself for you and have overcome it. You have nothing left to fear. Rejoice, believer, for what Christ has done. As you were baptized and you called upon the name of the Lord, celebrate your baptism. Remember your baptism. Rejoice in your baptism. And maybe this is where you are this morning. If you missed being baptized today, you didn't miss the chance to be baptized unless the Lord comes back. Because we will baptize again as many times as we need to, as many as people repent and turn to the Lord. In fact, in 2 weeks, we'll baptize again. And there's some other folks right now that I'm talking about being baptized. So maybe this is something you need to think about. So not only remember and rejoice, but repent and be baptized. Turn from your sins and trust in him. I'll leave you with the words that Ananias said to Paul. He said to Paul, "Why are you delaying? Get up and be baptized. Wash away your sins." How? Calling upon the name of the Lord. Why are you delaying? Behold, look what Christ has done. Let's pray.